If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, in which we try to ask and answer some of the questions related to the Islamic laws based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before we embark on our episode, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasis, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that. Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker, as always. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to Khums based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei for quite a while now, and let's continue our questions along the same line, Sheikh Javid. A loan was acquired for performing Hajj Tamattu. The question is, should its khums be paid before using the balance for Hajj? In other words, let me put it another way. You know, some people get some loans, take some loans for performing Hajj.
Hajj.
Is this money, you know, subject to khums too?
Well, first of all, I would like to say that you cannot perform Hajj Tamattu with borrowed money.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are a debtor in this case.
Yes.
Someone who is indebted to a bank, to an institution, to an individual, cannot perform Hajj Wajib or obligatory Hajj, Hajj Tamattu, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, you know, he has to, first of all, he has to get rid of the borrowed money. He has to pay off the borrowed money. And then if he has an extra amount of money, then he of course, can perform Hajj Tamattu and then everything related to Hajj Tamattu. Hajj Tamattu is the obligatory Hajj for which one has to be financially capable. If you don't have the means, the money or the asset to travel to, for example, to Mecca, and you borrow money for that purpose, you are not, Hajj is not wajib on you.
Mm.
Now, in the event, let's say, in the event that you borrowed money, according to all religious scholars, there is no khums paid on borrowed money. Khums is not payable on loan.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point.
I see. Okay. I have paid an amount of money to a housing foundation over a period of 5 years for the purpose of purchasing a piece of land to build a house for myself. However, till yes. now, no step has been taken to deliver the land. And so I decided to withdraw my money from the foundation.
Okay? Yes.
Well, I obtained a part of that money on loan. Another part came from the sale of the house carpet. And the rest from the salary of my wife, who is a teacher. Would you please answer these two questions that I have? First, if I get the money back and spend it exclusively for buying land or a house, would it be subject to khums? And the second question that I have, Sheikh Javid, is that how much khums should be paid?
Because you mentioned in your question that, of course, you got the money or maybe you obtained a part of that money on loan and another part from the sale of, you know, a house carpet, or maybe a portion of that money you got it from your wife.
Mm-hmm.
So that was not basically it wasn't your money that you paid towards buying a piece of land. So once you get it back, it is khums is not payable on that
mm-hmm.
money
mm-hmm.
because you gained it, you received it either as a gift from your wife or it's a borrowed money. So khums is not payable on borrowed money, nor is it payable on a gift received mm-hmm. from someone. So if, for example, let's say you have paid, you have received that amount of money and you think it is okay, it's my money, I want to use it, I want to buy it, use that money to buy a piece of land. Again, it's not necessary to pay khums on that money because the piece of land that you want to buy and build a house in the future, according to many scholars, as far as I know, khums is not mm-hmm. payable on that money.
Even if the money is yours.
Even if the money is yours, because you need to buy, you use that money to, let's say, to buy a piece of land.
Yes.
And then after sometimes you buy some bricks, some building materials to construct a house.
Yes.
And then after another year you save some money to build the building.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So khums is not paid on that money which is saved up for buying a piece of land, for building a house which you essentially and very much urgently need.
Mm-hmm. I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break and we'll be back and continue your program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio. Stay with us.
followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/Ian. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and share with our guest speaker. We're still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws about khums based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khomeini. Sheikh Tawid, some years ago, I acquired a bank loan and deposited it in my account for 1 year. I could not make use of the loan so far, but I had to pay it monthly installments. Is this loan subject to khums?
Now, either you have paid the installments or you have not paid it. Maybe if you have paid the installments, the money, the principal amount is still with you. Now, khums should be paid against that amount of money whose installments have been paid by you. Because the amount, you have not spent it, it's still there. So the installments have also been paid. And there is also some amount of money left in your account whose installments you have not paid yet. You are going to pay it in the future. So khums is not payable on that amount of money whose installments you have not paid or you have failed to pay it thus far.
Mm-hmm.
But that amount of money which is there in your account and whose installments you have paid, of course, you are not liable for the khums.
I see. There is another question, Sheikh Shobit. I have an outstanding debt on the house, and I will remain indebted for 12 years. Please enlighten us in regard to my liability to khums. In other words, is this debt to be subtracted from the gain of the year?
Well, according to His Eminence Ayatollah Khomeini, he allows such people who actually have outstanding debt to pay the installments of a loan which was spent last year for constructing a house and similar things, which are, of course, very basic needs. From their gains during the khums year, of course, during this year's khums, he allows such people, okay? So, and therefore, these people are not supposed to pay khums for the money which they earned this year, but of course, they spend it. They spent to pay off the loan for constructing and building a house, which they purchased last year.
Mm-hmm. And this debt should be subtracted from the gain of the year?
Of course.
Uh-huh. Okay. Thank you very much, Sheikh Tawid, for your nice answers to the comments, to the questions that I raised regarding khums based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khomeini. Thank you, my dear listeners, for choosing our channel, IRIB English Radio, for this program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio, okay? And keep us in your du'as. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم ملجا لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي مميت الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا هو